Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Great to be with you. We have a terrific show for you in our guest segment today. We have Pastor Sam Arnold on. He's our Latin American expert. And I'll tell you, he knows, he'll forget more about South America, Central America, Latin America as a whole than I'll ever know. And we're bringing him on to talk about a crisis in Panama. And this was first brought to my attention by a really intelligent couple that I had political ties to through the Ernie Hancock operations of Freedom's Phoenix and the Arizona Breakfast Club, of where I've spoken many, many times. And they actually were members of that before they moved to Panama. And they alerted me to a lot of dangers that are going on inside of Panama. And interestingly enough, in the same time frame, Sam contacted me and said, I think we should talk about this. And boy, should we ever. Because ladies and gentlemen, this isn't just about an event that's interesting and concerning in a faraway place. This is about an event that's going to have real implications for America, our national security, our economy. There's two major concerns I have that I'll share with Sam, and we'll let him elaborate on that. But it's really, really interesting. And on another note, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to just say something about Maui. First of all, if you've not been to the YouTube site of L. Winner, the letter L, L. Winner, like winner, loser, L. Winner. Linda Winner is her name, and she has constructed a song about Lahaina. And I'm warning you, you better have your box of Kleenexes there, because number one, she captures a lot of the BS that we know happened. She captures a lot of the suspicions we have about why it happened. And the music is really good. The words are poignant, and it really tugs at your heart. And if you've ever had any concern for these poor people in Lahaina and what happened to them, I would strongly suggest that you go and listen to Linda Winner's song, L. Winner, on YouTube. I've published it on the website at thecommonsenseshow.com. Boy, I'll tell you, it's a tearjerker. A couple other thoughts about Lahaina. People seemingly don't want to hear about it anymore. In the beginning, people couldn't get enough. There's been developments. It's actually horrible what's going on there, horrible. And when I publish any updates on Lahaina that shows you basically the persecution of these 2,500 surviving families that they're going through, people just don't want to see it. The lowest produced videos I have on YouTube are now related to Lahaina. And I think it really goes to show who the real enemy is. And I'm going to just remind you, a paraphrase of Martin O. Miller's soliloquy. First they came for the, and I didn't say anything. And then they came for that group, and I still didn't say anything. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to talk. No one could speak for me. And first there was paradise. No one said anything. Then there was Lahaina. No one said anything. Now there's Acapulco. No one said anything. And I didn't even include Palestine, East Palestine, and I should have. Absolutely. The train derailment, the nonsense that went on there, the chicanery. Do I think it was done intentionally? Let's put it this way. I think an investigation's in order. And so we have now seen four major events, three inside the United States and one in Mexico, that follow the same pattern. And the same willful disregard for American well-being, no desire to make people whole, no restitution of damages, just subjugation of the people, abuse of the people, taking their resources. It's sad. I promised the people of Lahaina I would never forget or let go of it. We still, to date, I believe there's 2,400 missing kids. The Department of Education says they've accounted for all but, and I have to come to this conclusion by the numbers they use. They don't say this, but 983 kids are unaccounted for by the original numbers. I don't believe what they're saying on the Department of Education website. In fact, they said they're not going to say any more because it violates privacy, and that's a lot of bull. doesn't violate any privacy laws. How do I know? Because I know the privacy laws of educational institutions inside and out because I've had to pass tests on it. I've sat through in-service trainings on it. I could teach these people what FERPA is, and that's what they're referring to. They are lying through their teeth. Just like the entire governmental structure of why I lied about what happened in Lahaina and what they're doing. Let me just back away from my indignation just for a second and say, I believe there's 2,400 missing kids. I want to know where they're at. Even if there's only 983 missing kids, I want to know where they're at. Even if there's only one missing kid, I want to know where that person is at. And this is unacceptable that this is happening in America. And what's really unacceptable to me is how quickly we can forget. It's like we have 12-minute attention spans, and that's the distance on TV between two commercials. I am just thoroughly flabbergasted with the fact that America is not in the streets, protesting, writing letters, raising hell. We had people wiped out, everything taken away, no $700 per family. Are you kidding me? These people's properties are being stolen by the developers. That's a fact. So no another show on that. Anyway, before we go to Sam, I want to let you know that we're watching the banks crumble right before our very eyes. And Jamie Dimon sold 1 million shares of his own bank for $150 million. He's not doing it because they're in good shape. So I'm going to bring your attention to Noble Gold. Noble Gold can protect your retirement because it'll be gone because the banks can keep it if they want to. That's the law now. And they can take your bank account. Noble Gold can help you diversify and they can do it efficiently. All I want you to do is go to DaveHodgesGold.com. I'll send you a free information packet or you can call 877-646-5347. Now, on to Sam Arnold. This is going to be an interesting and revealing show.
Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here in the guest segment of the Common Sense Show, and we're really glad you're with us. And we have a crisis going on in Panama, and I mentioned it on my YouTube channel. I didn't get into great depth, but I said it's affecting the Panama Canal. It was brought to my attention by a wonderful couple that now lives there. They used to be part of a same political meeting group that I went to called Freedom's Phoenix and the Arizona Breakfast Club. And that's Ernie Hancock from Freedom's Phoenix. That's his creation. And they were there, oh gosh, probably 12, 15 years ago. Then they moved to Panama and they sent me some video and they said, did you know about this in Panama? And I said, I heard there was some unrest, but I didn't know it was this. And this video, it looked like the Palestinians in D.C. 2 days ago. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. Hundreds of thousands of people in the streets and literally very few people are working. It's a crisis. It's going to come home to roost on our heads in America. This is an important show. So who else better to go to? Because it's in Latin America, our Latin American expert, Sam Arnold from Gospel Gunslinger. Sam, I'm glad you could join us. I don't think people are taking this as seriously as they need to. So why don't you just kind of start at the beginning and walk us through what you're seeing going on there?
We need to understand that Panama is the Achilles heel of the Americas North and South. Panama is the Achilles heel. Now, I just did a whole show on this. You can find that on gospelgunslingers.com. It's the Living by the Sword radio show. It airs tonight from Miami to the world, so it will broadcast again into Cuba, into Panama, into all of South America. And if you want the full breakdown, you can look at it there.
Sam, do you do that in English or Spanish?
Oh, it's in English. It's in English. It's 90% in English or more. And so we're reaching all the expats that are living in remote locations because they knew what time it was a long time ago. Panama is the Achilles heel. It is, I refer to it jointly as the heart of the Americas and as the Achilles heel of the Americas. Craig Faller, when he was the head of Southcom, so this is the United Military Command that's from the Mexico-Guatemala border, the southern border of Mexico, all the way down to Antarctica. The head of Southcom is in charge of all of that. So what he stated in one of his many interviews, and this is a fantastic Navy admiral, someone that I really he really earned my respect. I thought he was crazy when he first took office, some of the things he said, but he turned whole nations around. And here's one of the main things that he said, that one of his central duties, or he may have said his number one central duty, is to ensure the security of the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
And not only is this a water bridge between the Atlantic and Pacific, it's also, as we've studied, and I've been following Michael Young's work and kept in very close contact with him as he's working on the border crisis, it's also the land bridge between South and North America. So this is where the migrant invasion is coming from. And finally, it's to the point where Panama is this close to collapse. You know, after Jimmy Carter turned the canal over to the Panamanians, Khrushchev, the premier of the Soviet Union around that time, just a little before, said with three weapons, we'll destroy the West: disarmament, decolonization, and detente. So this is decolonization. When we take what's been our Panama Canal zone and sign it over to the Banana Republic, and no offense against Panama, it's just that it's a very small nation, the fare to pass a ship through tripled overnight. So that was the first thing that happened, was they put the screws to the whole world on charging. But now this, the China.
And Sam, looks like you froze it up there. Oh boy. I think I'm still recording here. Yes, Sam, hold on a second. You froze up here for a second. So go back and repeat what you said.
The Chinese and the Iranian terrorists are well dug in Panama. One of the things that I cover on my show is the travels of the terrorists, part of the 910, the 910 unit Hezbollah terror group that's Iranian backed. This terrorist, El Debek, went to Panama and lived there and took photos of the Panama Canal. And he testified in court because he eventually went to the FBI. There was some infighting. It's complicated. But this operative has made numerous statements about what he was tasked to do. And he was tasked to go to Panama. He was tasked to look for weaknesses in the canal construction, to examine the security of the canal zone, and to see how close he could get to a ship. Just imagine if an 80,000-ton container ship sunk in the locks of the Panama Canal. It would be a catastrophe that would shut it down for God knows how long. And so this operative, everybody's talking right now about Unit 910. Everybody's saying, okay, the Ike, the Dwight D. Eisenhower aircraft carrier, is sailing around the Arabian Peninsula to get in position to fight with the Iranians. And then what's Iran going to do? They, as well as Nusrallah, the head of Hezbollah in Lebanon, they've both said that they're coming to America. They've both said that they'll attack U.S. bases and attack American interests and infrastructure around the world, including their operatives coming across the Texas border. So while everybody is looking at Unit 910 as something that may happen in Asia, you need to know that there's a very deep, going back more than three decades, the two deadliest bombings that Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner was implicated as being involved with these Hezbollah terrorists. Unit 910 and Hezbollah is the one that did that in Buenos Aires in 1992 and 94.
Yes, so Sam, now we're talking Sam, hold about on a second. I want to make sure people know what we're talking about. Talk about Cristina Fernandez. She's the former president. Talk about the country and what and how that ties into everything.
Argentina's communist now. The Chinese came in with Venezuelan dominion machines and stole the election. Now it's election time again. So they've had 4 years under the Kirchnerist government, and they'll probably install another puppet president anew. You know, you don't get out of these things at the voting box, as you have so aptly stated in the past. Once the communists are in charge, it takes force to pull the tick. So Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner is the vice president now of communist Argentina. She was the president before, and certain legal actions that have come against her when there's been some freedom in the courts and some patriots in the courts have implicated her as being involved, as supporting these terrorists So these are the two deadliest bombings of Jewish centers. One was an Israeli embassy. The other one was called AMIA. It was a Jewish center. These are the two deadliest Jewish center bombings in the history of the Americas. And who was right there and is implicated in court documents of being involved and protecting the Hezbollah terrorists? That communist government. And she's a very close friend of Hillary Clinton. So if any American thinks that this is far away, it's as close as Hillary. The Hezbollah is right there. The Unit 910 is right there. And what comes out in the documents that I think it was Todd Starnes published the document, the court documents of the FBI prosecution of El Debek. What comes out in that is that he was casing the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal is so important. It's important for us and the security of the Americas because we got two coasts. We got to be able to move our ships. And the Panama Canal has limitations, but it is absolutely the aorta of our military defense and our economy in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And now the nation's about to collapse.
Well, Sam, let's back up to the original crisis. My understanding, there's a CCP, World Economic Forum, BlackRock-backed company that's in Canada. This has Trudeau's blessing. And I understand that this rogue organization is causing all the problems in Panama and is probably intentional. Do you want to address that?
Yes. Okay. This is called the Quantum Mind. And I have some good tweets about this where you can see the Quantum Mind. You can see the fortified gates with concertina wire and the protesters standing outside the mine and the jackboots standing inside the mine in a phalanx formation with riot gear. And part of the one of the questions is, who are those guys? Are they CCP? Because this is about losing control of the nation. Not only has the quantum mine been ruled illegal, their courts have ruled it unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. And so the real question is, do the Panamanian people have any say at all in their own government? They feel like they don't, which is why they're all on strike. Just like Israel is shut down as a nation because all the reserves have been called up and there's nobody to work the drugstore. They're all on the Gaza border and manning tanks and fighting. In Panama, all the people have laid down their hammers.
Yeah.
There's no schools for the kids to go to. The nation is shut down. The commerce is shut down. Michael Yon sent me a picture today, and he says, hey, look into this. Came from somebody I don't know. It was a complaint of all these trucks lined up because protesters have closed the Pan American Highway. And the guy that posted it said, I got a truck full of meat. I'm going to lose it all. There's a lot of problems because there are protests. Maybe the people will take their country back because as it looks
How are they going to do it? Because I don't see protests changing anything. Sam,
ask me that one more time, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're having a little disruption in our communications here. I'm not a believer in protests. I think you can make an initial statement. But after the protest has exhausted itself, which is 24 to 48 hours, there has to be action. What do you think that they're going to do? What can they do to get their country back?
The Supreme Court could rule that this mine has to be closed and that the Chinamen have to be evicted.
The Canadian company we're talking about, they have to close their mine.
Well, China owns 18% of it on paper. And then, like you mentioned, the Canadians and U.S. interests, the Canadians own a large part of it, but that is kind of as a CCP proxy. And so the Chinese are running it. One of the complaints is that there are more Chinese workers there than are allowed in the agreement. So back to your original question, November 22nd, their Supreme Court is supposed to rule on whether to close it, what to do, whether they sustain that it's unconstitutional or change their ruling on that. And so, yeah, that's a couple weeks out. The people are shutting down the nation saying that they want an answer right now. It would be great if there was an expulsion, but you know, like in Brazil, the people protested outside the military barracks and said, "Free us from the tyranny of the Supreme Court." Well, the military never rose up to do that. So there's a point where the military has to rise up. There's a point where the borders have to be closed. It's a very easy thing for a military, or in Panama, even militias, to do, but that hasn't happened. And on my radio show, I break down that it's not really just Panama. It's the two nations beneath and the two nations above. You know, Panama borders Colombia. That communist president, Petro, was the first one to speak out against Israel the moment that they responded to horrific violence in their nation. Petro rattled the saber. He has his military was built by the U.S., and he won't put it on the border to stop the migrant hordes. That's a real problem. Yep. And then who's next to that? Maduro and Venezuela. And they're flush with all their money from Biden dropping the sanctions and them being able to sell oil again. And their nation has gotten so strong in the past 2 years of selling oil to the world that they're talking about invading their neighbor to take over more oil and gas fields. They're going to conquer east into Suriname and into Guyana. And it's happening, man. There's a voting referendum for it. I don't know if you saw this in my message, Dave, but it's hilarious. The slogan to vote in the December 5th referendum, whether to invade this area called the Essequibo, is vote yes, vote five times yes. That's their slogan, vote five times yes.
Well, the Democrats in this country would say that's an underrepresentation.
Exactly. They're having a vote to create this air of legitimacy, and yet they make fun of the whole idea of one person voting one time.
Sam, I care not who votes. I only care who counts the votes. Joseph Stalin.
That's what Stalin said.
I want to go back to something, though. The executive branch of the Panamanian government. Okay, it seems like they're basing all their decisions on the Supreme Court. What about the executive branch of Panama? Are they in bed with this company and the globalists that brought them in, or what's the story?
I got a message today that's circulating around the Panamanian Americans because, you know, I'm putting my ear to the ground to see what's going on. And in a 6 or 7 bullet points, one of them was the executive is silent. So the president of Panama, and he's getting close to the end of his term, is Nito Cortizo. And he's a leftist. He's center left. The people like him, and he seems like a reasonable guy. He has not acted like Petro in Colombia and just gone Chinese right off the bat. He has not acted like that. I feel like he has tried to deal with the Chinese infiltration that was handed to him. You know, these court cases about the constitutionality of the quantum mind go back 15 and some of them almost 20 years.
Yeah, interject this, though, because there's court cases. There's a problem with this mind to the health and well-being of the people of Panama. Can you address the threat of the mind that has so many people in Panama upset?
Okay, Dave, you have reported on the Chinese in America, in the USA, buying big farms next to military bases.
Yes.
And then they move in. Their people, they got God knows what in there. And mines are even worse because they really cordon it off completely. They have buildings on there. Nobody knows how many Chinamen are on this mine. In my tweet where I show the phalanx of men in riot gear, I ask the question, are these CCP soldiers? One of the things that the Panamanians are saying is, how many Chinamen have come in? You have exceeded the quota that's part of the founding agreement to build this thing. And so they're concerned that this is a military base. The people of Panama are concerned that the quantum mine is a People's Liberation Army military installation. Now, we know they did that in Argentina. They built the space base down on the Patagonian plain, spent $50 million doing it, and even in 4 years of a Trumpist conservative president, he could not get them out of there. This is what Nito Cortizo's problem is. Michael Yon says, and this is somebody who's got spidey sense, right? From being an airborne paratrooper, from being in battle zones in the sandbox, from being a war correspondent, from going to over, I think he's been in 100 nations doing war correspondence work. He's been all over the world, and he says, this looks like imminent collapse, because he can feel the protests getting to that point where it's just going to boil over. And I think he's right. Why is the U.S. military not on this?
How do the, because there's a related issue here, and you bring up Michael Yon and the great work he's done covering the Darien Gap and what's coming out of the Darien Gap, which is a nightmare of immigration for the U.S. in numbers we can't handle. What about the people of Panama, the government of Panama, and probably two different looks at it, the same problem. How do they feel about the interlopers crossing their territory?
Everybody gets their palm greased. It's kind of like me reporting from cartel country. There's no person who has not received a benefit from cartel money. And the flood of money that's coming in. You know, there's wild Indians in the woods there that are running around in loincloths and with bows and arrows and feathers and flowers in their hair. And all of a sudden, people are passing them $100 bills to help a migrant with something. That's more money than they've seen in a month. And so these tribes that have a traditional way of life, that literally live in huts, all of that is being ruined.
Yeah.
And the Panamanian people, on one hand, the benefits come first. On the other hand, there's ruination. So they get paid to start with, but then it gets to the point that they can't go outside. And what if their real bread and butter is ruined? The Panama Canal. Then what? The Panamanian people are really concerned for the future of their nation right now.
Do they see the threat to the Panama Canal? Because they've already scaled down operations because of the strikes. So less
because
goods
of the water. There's a drought there. And mm-hmm. even though there's advanced water conservation, it all comes from a central lake, and that lake is way low. And so weather warfare and weather events have taken a big toll on the Panama Canal. And China knows that a drought there would cripple the canal. They know that. I just wish people understood the military significance of the Panama Canal and how vital it is, how vital it is. It is so critical. You know, they used to have shore batteries. If a guy goes to visit the Panama Canal to Panama today, there's a lot of cool stuff they can do. I got a friend in Kansas who's a Panamanian missionary going back probably 20 years. He goes and works in these islands because there's major island chains on both sides of Panama, both coasts. And anyhow, if somebody goes down there, you can go see the shore batteries, and the guns aren't in them still, but some of them mounted 16-inch battleship guns from Iowa-class battleships. During World War II, it was understood that we had to have these shore batteries. Aside from ships and mines, we had shore batteries that would reach way out and hammer even the heaviest ships of the day. And that's what was necessary to defend the canal back then. Well, what did Paul Revere say? One if by land, two if by sea. The British are coming, the British are coming. Well, now the migrants are coming, and whoever thought they'd come marching through the Darien Gap of the jungle? Or that China would just ship them in and put them in their own base. But this is the concern, that the quantum mine, aside from being an ecological catastrophe and a disaster in that respect for a small nation with, you know, it's a huge open strip mine. They're even going to outlaw flying over it.
Why?
This is the tyranny that's at work.
Why are they? Is it the same reason you couldn't fly over Lahaina? Because you didn't want to see the cover up and the dangers that were there?
You don't want to see how many Chinamen are in it.
Oh. Well, let me tell you this, okay? And I think your instincts are right about the mine and who's inhabiting it. Because in Arizona and other places in the West, the Chinese came in and did solar energy farm deals. And I'm sure you know about this. And it was Senta, this company from China, that did most of the negotiating. Well, Senta is an arm of the PLA, the People's Liberation Army of China. These are Chinese soldiers coming on our soil, working in these solar energy farms. And I've been raising the alarm about this for about 13, 14 years. And I bet you the same thing is going on in Panama. Are my instincts correct?
That's exactly what everyone's concerned about. And yeah, we're exactly. Not talking about somebody has a hunch. This is in court documents. There are more Chinamen than are allowed by law. In these events, more Chinese workers, which we know that there's no such thing as a Chinese worker, a Chinese business. Everything is an arm of the dragon. Yeah, it's a military threat to that very small nation. You know, it's smaller than Indiana. And coming from the Midwest, Indiana's our smallest neighbor. Panama's a little place. It's very vulnerable. This is how Khrushchev said he would destroy the West with decolonization. They need their big brother. Okay. They need the USA. And I want to know, where is General Laura Richardson? What does the head of Southcom have to say about the state of the Panama Canal and the defense of the Panama Canal? We would like a report. Joni Ernst, my senator, I would like for you to ask, what is the status of the defense of the Panama Canal?
Joni Ernst is a rhino. The only thing you're going to get from her is the communist answer. Hey, she masquerades, you know, as a GOP. But look, I look at some of the things that she's done. She failed to vote for the ouster of Tlaib, who basically had people from Palestinian protesters do worse than what was done on J6. So I have no faith in her. But I hear what you're saying. But appealing to her, I think, is like urinating in the wind.
Well, she's my senator, whether I like it or not.
I hear you. I hear you. I know what you're saying, but you know, I'm just calling a spade a spade. But here's the thing, too. I want to know.
Yes.
Is there a concern? Well, there's two concerns I have. The one concern is obvious, omnipresent, and I think I'm going to ask a question I already know the answer to. This is going to have a direct impact on the supply chain to the United States. Do you agree?
Yes, and it will be sudden and severe when it happens. Well,
do you have any idea what percentage of trade? Do we have any estimate on this?
No, but it's huge. You cannot live without your aorta. Nobody gets their aorta removed.
I think it's safe to say,
like the appendix.
Sam, I've asked this question of other people too, and they say could be 15%, could be 20, could be 40. I mean, people are all over the map with the estimates, but even if it was only 5%, it would have a significant impact on shortages of certain goods in the store, in the retail stores. So I totally agree with that part. So I knew the answer there. This is a very, very big deal. And we're looking at a time now where these shortages will start being felt in the United States. The other thing I want to know is, with the CCP military influence that's there, is this preparation for a military launching pad for like a Red Dawn invasion?
An arrow through the heart does not require any follow-up. This is where I really think we need to reassess how important Panama is, that this is the Achilles heel. This is the heart of the American continents, north and south, both economically and militarily, is right there. We cannot live without it. And for some of Joni's failings, and she knows where she's disappointed me, but she is very strong in dealing with these military questions. She's the only female combat veteran ever to serve in the U.S. Senate. She went and got shot at in Iraq. She commanded whole convoys in the sandbox and in the war zones. And when she sits down with these military leaders, whether they're good or whether they're bad, she nails them down and they cannot get away from her because of her technical knowledge of the military. And that's why I really want to see her and Laura Richardson talk about what's going on in the Panama Canal Zone. How do we secure it? How can this situation get better or worse? And when we prepare for the worst, what are we going to do if the nation collapses? What are we going to do if the president flees? What's the plan? I'd like to know.
I know you gave as complete answer as possible at this time, but the answer, unfortunately, I think because of lack of information, does not mitigate my concern that we're setting up a launching pad. In fact, let's even go farther south. Let me digress just for a moment.
Please.
I've watched some of Michael Yon, and I need to get in contact with him. I'll talk to you about that after the show. But I've watched some of Michael Yon's stellar work, and he shows these concentration camps where they're putting people in, and then they process them, they get them their shoes and their food and so forth. And then they put them on buses, and there go the buses. And we know they've gone from 60 buses a day to 200. And listen, the couple in Panama I mentioned counted 200 buses in one day.
Wow.
So Michael Yon's figures are confirmed by a couple in Panama that counted. What we're looking at, and by the way, they told me too that these buses are no longer allowed to stop. They have to go straight to the country now in Panama because there's danger with the protesters, and also they know that people don't want them there and they don't want to antagonize the locals, so they're just going on through. Michael Yon said these concentration camps are being emptied out. It's like a processing station for new in and then out. The fear that a lot of us have is these concentration camps could be the home for future people like me and you.
I hadn't really seen it in that way. We'll see what happens there.
There's something else going on too, and I don't know if this is related, but I would be surprised if it's not. Because we like to fund both sides of a revolution. We always have done that. In I got to go back and look it up, but I want to say it was New Jersey. A record fentanyl bust was uncovered in a cartel house. Okay, so cartel working for the Chinese, distributing their drug. But Sam, it didn't stop there. The report's incomplete, and I think it's on purpose. They said they also found evidence that guns were being shipped south of the border from this house. That's fast and furious. And where's the biggest upset? I mean, the Sinaloas don't have trouble getting guns. The Chinese are there at the ready. Okay. We started them off in Fast and Furious and Eric Holder and Barack Obama, but they don't need us now for their guns. I'm wondering if this isn't going south into Panama to support an armed revolution with the chaos that ensues and then the right people take over.
It's not only in Panama, but it's all through the Caribbean. Of course, Haiti is an obvious hot spot and something that we all need to watch much closer. And for those who don't know, Haiti is one of the handful of allies of Taiwan still, even though it's in this failed state position. But not only that, a lot of other nations like St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Trinidad and Tobago, signed on and wrote an amicus briefs in the Mexican government's lawsuit against U.S. firearm manufacturers because there's a prolific illegal arms trade that's now going all through the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's not very safe to sail anymore,
Sponsored by the
partly
Clinton
because of that.
Foundation, by the way. They're playing both ends. Also, too, El Salvador concerns me because El Salvador has taken a strong stand against the cartels, particularly MS-13, with a huge prison population now. I believe it's the largest in North America, surpassing the United States. I'm wondering if some of the arms couldn't be going there as well. I mean, to me, when you're talking about Panama unrest, I don't think you can consider this in isolation. I think it's a regional, it's a problem that's going to spread regionally, like what we're seeing in the Middle East.
I really wanted to end with some good news about how this might be stopped because there's a huge revival in Nicaragua. This week, the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached in the central plaza of Managua, of Nicaragua, which has been under leftist governments and described as very tyrannical governments for over 20 years. The boogeyman from the 1980s is the president today, Daniel Ortega, and his approval had to be granted for the central plaza to be given to the evangelists to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've discussed this in past shows that I want these states before invasion, before they collapse, to invite us to come in and preach the gospel. I'd like to see that happen in Haiti, as Papa Doc Duvalier invited my mentor, Clayton Sonmore, and they went in and preached in 1960. The judgment of God was stayed off for 50 years, and the earthquake happened 50 years after their preaching campaign, almost to the day. And so now that this has actually happened and the gospel is going to be preached this week in the central plaza of Nicaragua, this is, listen, the people are so reaching out. They're so tired of everything they've tried in the past, which includes crime and drugs and affiliation with the NGOs and everything else. And none of that's worked. And let me tell you, they're going to try the Lord Jesus. And so this is only two countries up from Panama. From Panama, you go next to Costa Rica, which is in serious danger. More on that on my radio show. You can just go to gospelgunslingers.com, click the archive button. Right there's the show. If you don't have a shortwave radio, you can get it right there on demand. After Costa Rica is Nicaragua. And Nicaragua, the gospel might turn it around, like has happened in El Salvador. And so the only question in El Salvador is the same as in Mexico, is will the transformation continue? Can they get their same president back in, or an allied candidate from their party in Mexico? The President Bukele of El Salvador got a constitutional reform to allow himself to run for president again. He's got over 90% approval. Barring widespread shenanigans, he will win another term. And you know what? There's huge gospel preaching campaigns in El Salvador as well. So even as we're on the edge of World War III, even as the whole world is about to explode in war and nations are collapsing, some of them are very quickly turning to God. And so that's something that we can really be praying
for. Let me go back to Nicaragua, because I got a couple of real pointed questions for you. Let's not forget, communists believe government is the God, and they will now not allow any other gods before government. Okay, that's traditional in communism. Okay, now having said that, Daniel Ortega is a communist. And he has communist allies and communist affiliations, and he owes a lot of his military hardware to Russia. I mean, heck, I saw Russian tanks in a parade several years ago going through the streets of Managua.
Okay? Where there's also been revival.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, okay. I'll grant you that. But here's my concern. How does someone in a communist government get away with having a huge Christian revival?
How did it happen with Papa Doc Duvalier in 1960? He was on the edge of collapse. He had fought the Catholic Church and their intelligence apparatus, and many supporters were fighting him. He had oppressed his population. They were ticked off at him. He had rattled the saber against the USA, and the US fleet was there just over the horizon, ready to hammer Port-au-Prince and invade. And when he was caught in between that love triangle of three powerful enemies, that's when he invited the gospel in. And that's what I said in my broadcast to Jimmy Barbecue. I never get his name right. At Chevalier, it's French. Jimmy Barbecue. I said, hey, you're going to get invaded. Use your gunmen, secure the Capitol, invite us in to preach the gospel. Your predecessor did it. And we see this in the Old Testament too. The kings that God turned around, that allied with Israel, that defended Israel, even Pharaoh himself, sent Moses out of the country and said, take your men and your women, your little ones, your flocks and your herds, and bless me also. The Lord can get a hold of the darkest heart, and especially if they're the king of the nation, if they're the head of government of the nation, they're very open for God to get a hold of them.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. So do you think it's certainly not political what's going on in Nicaragua. I would describe it as supernatural.
Exactly. And listen, this outfit, Britt Hancock is the headline preacher. He's a jungle preacher. He shows up in his hiking boots and a short sleeve button down jungle shirt. He was personally discipled by David Hogan in the mountains of Mexico. Miracle ministry. They've had blind eyes open, and it's the miracles that got the attention of the government. And listen, please, viewers of the Common Sense Show, pray for the revival in Nicaragua this week, that the enemy won't get in, that the devil won't mess it up, that God will have his way. They've preached 10 campaigns this year in Nicaragua, but this is the big one. This is in Managua, in the Central Park. It's always been closed to religious events. In fact, they call it Plaza de Fe, the Faith Plaza. Plaza de Fe, Juan Pablo II, Pope John Paul II, because that's where he came and blessed the nation. It just sits there empty. It's been empty for decades in a capital city that's still damaged from their civil war in the 70s. Can God turn it around? Now we have El Salvador to look at. I guffawed and I laughed like Sarah when Admiral Craig Faller said, well, we have some friends in El Salvador. Craig Faller said that. And I said, hey, what are you talking about? You going to consort with communists? Nayib Bukele put a U.S.-trained admiral, fired all his top generals, got a U.S.-trained admiral from the Naval War College, made him the head of all the military of El Salvador. He cracked the whip, turned the military around, restored morale. They went after the drug dealers, locked them all up. It's a paradise. You can buy a ticket to El Salvador and surf it today. They got a coastal city on the Pacific called Surf City, and you can go and surf that in total safety today.
So how about the cartel influence there? Is it big?
They're all in jail.
Okay. They're all in jail. All right. What about Panama? What about the cartel activity there?
Oh, there's cartel activity, but what's really taken over from the cartels is the NGOs. And this is the big money. And one of the very biggest
China,
ones
is World Economic Forum, Canada
Catholic
Mining.
Charities. Catholic charities.
The Jesuits, yep.
The Jesuits and Catholic Charities. And a lot of these are right on the top of my Twitter feed. Listen, if you don't follow me on all platforms, the audience is going to miss a lot of things because I'm a one-man operation. Some things I'll put right into one tweet. It never goes anywhere unless you actually hit the button, go to my feed. Then if you share it, it'll go some places. Really, those things have become a documentary so that we'll be able to tell the story after it all goes down. But I've addressed the NGOs and how in Costa Rica, the Catholic Church is the state church. And so while they don't have an army, their constitution is pacifist, the Catholic Church doesn't have to operate by piracy like they do in Texas. They have carte blanche in the nation, and that's the problem. And one good thing that Daniel Ortega just did is outlaw the Jesuit order, threw the Jesuits out of the nation, and nationalized their university.
Really?
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
See, the Jesuits are involved in globalism in a big way, as I'm sure you know. Paul Preston and I from Agenda 21 Radio have had this discussion many times. They're behind the Reconquista de Azalon movement to take 8 states away from the United States and make it its own country, saying the war of 1848 against Mexico was illegal. I agree, it was an unjust war. She can't turn history back that way. But they want to do that, and that's all sponsored by the Jesuit Church. So yeah, that's interesting. When we take a look at this situation in Panama, Sam, based on what you know and what you see, where is it going to go, and what's going to determine the outcome?
If the nation collapses, if the president resigns or flees, if there is no democratic solution, then that only leaves military solutions. And that's why I want to know, where is Laura Richardson, the head of Southcom, with the central duty of her office?
We'll let that country fall to China. I'm telling you right now, with this administration, they'll let the Chinese take over, probably through puppet government. But look at who we're talking about. We're talking about the Biden family that takes millions in treasonous bribe money, money laundering schemes, you know, operating and involving China, the labs in Ukraine. I could go on and on. They're not going to intervene. We have no national interests. Biden's mission is to take this country down. So whatever he does in Panama is going to be to the detriment of the United States.
The only other option is a full U.S. military intervention. And who has the balls or the resources to do that? We're fighting in Taiwan and Israel and Ukraine and Iran. The Iranians are going to strike Panama. That's a big focus of the Living by the Sword show today.
Wow, but
the Iranians
amazing.
Have prepared for years and years to cause chaos and havoc militarily in Panama. And then what are we going to do? When they come in and shut the whole thing down, we are put already on our heels And I don't think that anybody's really ready, like Craig Faller was, to defend the canal with military force. I don't think so. I don't think so.
You know, it's interesting you say that. There's your combatants right there. Iranians, Chinese foot soldiers that are working in the mines, and they're going to be fighting against Panamanian citizens. And you know what? You just told me why the president of Panama is silent. He's trying to leave office before he's caught in the middle.
It was only one administration before him that Panama abandoned Taiwan and switched to Red China recognition. He was put on his heels when he came in. And he is not Nayib Bukele, you know. He's really tried to get along, but I think that they've got him between a rock and a hard place, or as they say in Spanish, between the sword and the wall.
Wow. The sword and the wall. That's a good phrase. Sam, you've really nailed this here. And this is, I'm saying to my audience right now, just to sum it up from my perspective of what I've heard, we're going to have the Iranians there. We've already got the Chinese there. You've got an executive branch of a government that seems to be indifferent to the stoppage of the all work, the scaling down of the Panama Canal, the shortages that are going to appear in this country and really throughout North America, South America, too. So I look at this and, wow, this is a prescription for absolute disaster. It,
yes.
It's incredible. Have you talked to Michael Yan about Panama? What's his feeling on this?
His spidey sense is going crazy. And this is a guy who's watched so many wars and revolutions and been right there. He was in Hong Kong. There's a place where that war experience, you can tell when things are about to get bad. And this is what he's telling me.
There you go. Yeah, you're exactly right. This is I'll tell you, when that couple contacted me from Panama, I saw this video. I said, oh my. And here's the other thing too. Someone is putting these people in the streets the same way the Palestinians are being put in the streets in America by George Soros organizations. I guarantee you they're playing both ends against the middle here. They want a conflict, but you know, here's what's interesting. It won't just be Panama, Sam. This will spill over into Costa Rica and Nicaragua and maybe even further. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's why I did a five-nation solution. These are the two nations south of Panama. These are the two nations north of Panama. And every one of them is going wild weasel. There's chaos. For Venezuela to talk about invading their neighbor, you know, they were hanging on for dear life during the Trump sanctions. And now they're just flush with cash and ready to rumble. And don't forget who they sold all their illegally mined guerrilla gold to when they couldn't move oil. To the Iranians. Iranian military aircraft would come to Caracas and pick up tons of gold. They're thick as thieves with the Iranians. The Iranians are heavily, heavily, heavily embedded, not only in South America, but right there in that neighboring nation that's not far from the Darien jungle.
That's amazing. That is, wow. You see, this is why it's good to have you on this show so many times, because the Red Dawn concept may not happen in the way that we've seen in the movie, but the Red Dawn threat is very much there. And this is what we're exposing here. This is not an event that's in isolation. This is as serious a threat to the United States as what's going on in Ukraine, because eventually nukes could be used depending on who's involved. And you got China involved. I mean, all bets are off here, Sam. I mean, and this is a move, honestly, my personal belief is this, is all these conflicts are orchestrated, and they're orchestrated to depopulate, number one, and number two, decivilize the planet so they can build back better. And that's what I see going on here. Anyway, Sam, we're out of time. Can you tell us how my audience can follow you?
Thank you, Dave. My main site is gospelgunslingers.com. There are buttons on there. You can follow my blog. You can find the radio show archives. You can find my Twitter X account. You know, years ago when I was a young missionary, we'd go to the jungle and we couldn't make phone calls. We were completely incommunicado. but now we're in contact. And so the invitation is real that I would like to be your pastor.
Okay.
And if you're a Christian and don't support a missionary, you really should. So think about just reaching out. Let's be friends and help with the work if you would. God bless you.
Okay. Thanks, Sam. Hey, always interesting stuff. Very, very, very valuable. I'm sure this will get a lot of shares. Thanks, Sam.
God bless. Bye-bye.